Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty giant voice host. He arose.
Chapter 90, verse 1 reads, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Certainly some things from a natural standpoint that if any of us were to engage in a home construction project or if any of us were to engage in a search for a place to live, that we would most certainly consider. And I know some people, they would hear me say that from a natural standpoint, and they'd say, Brother Will, we're not here for the natural. We're here for the spiritual. Amen. I've had 6 days, I shouldn't say that, because I've been able to go to church on Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday morning, but most weeks, we've had 6 days of the natural. I'm thankful to set aside the first day of the week for the spiritual, aren't you? But the scriptures over and over again apply spiritual teachings by utilizing natural means. And behold, I lay in Zion. a chief cornerstone. That's the words of the Apostle Peter. And what is a stone? Is it not a natural piece of the geology of the world in which we dwell? Sure it is. There's stones all over this earth. There's stones that God placed here all over this earth. But the Lord takes a little piece of nature and He applies that teaching to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He said, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. And He's not talking about the geology of this earth whenever He's speaking about that chief cornerstone. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's utilizing something that is natural to teach us about something that's spiritual. The wind bloweth where it listeth. The wind is a force of nature. And in John chapter 3, Jesus Christ speaking to Nicodemus, He took the natural and explained the spiritual. Natural is something that we can comprehend, that we can understand. Sometimes if it's all spiritual, it may go right over us. But if we're able to break it down a little bit, we're able to see some of the spiritual truths by considering some natural things. Well, you know, when you consider a natural home, there's things that we all would endeavor to find, and if we were looking for a home, or if we were building a house, there's some things that we would endeavor if they weren't already there. If whenever we were looking for one, if we weren't going to build our own, if it wasn't already there, we'd be laboring continuously to try to make sure that entity or whatever it was that we thought that home needed was there. Our home is a constant construction project. Now, I say that from a natural standpoint. It seems like we've got something that we want to get done. And I've got it in the back of my mind that if we'll just get that done, it'll be complete. But as soon as we get that done, all of a sudden something else pops into your mind and says, well, this really needs some attention. We underpinned our crawl space, or our porches, not our crawl space, our porches a few months ago. A 10-day project turned into 6+ weeks. I may be missing that. It may be 7+. Wasn't my fault, and I'm not calling any names. I'm just telling you. We were told it was going to take 10 days. And it took 7+ weeks. You don't think I wasn't ready for that to be done? I was ready for that to be complete. But we've already got something else in mind now for the next thing we want to do. We just can't do it yet for other reasons. But nevertheless, when you consider that, that's a natural. But whenever you consider that the 14th chapter of the book of Proverbs says that every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her own hands. You tell me if that buildeth is in a tense that tells you that you are ever done building. It tells me that there's a continuous construction project being undergone under a house where a woman is building her house. Every wise woman buildeth her house. That is a spiritual teaching. And every wise woman does that. She buildeth her house. She builds up her children. She builds up her husband. She builds up the things that are within it. It's something that is spiritual, but the Lord is utilizing the natural. Well, the psalmist David here in Psalms chapter 90, he said, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. If we consider what the Lord has been to all generations, And whenever it says all generations, we're going all the way back to the beginning of time, to the time whenever His people needed a place to dwell. You know, whenever we consider, what are we looking for in a home? You know, one of the things that we look for in a home is the surety of that house. How sure is this house? Is it a sure place? You know, I look at the environment that is around whenever I bought the property that we would later build on. And I want to know what was around me. I want to know how sure is this environment? Or is somebody going to move something right in here on me, next to me, that is going to turn on a jukebox every Saturday night at 10 o'clock? And I've got some neighbors through the woods behind me that have a little band. And they got one tune. An old Lynyrd Skynyrd band tune. And they play it over and over and over again on Saturday night back there whenever they get cranked up. They've got that tune mastered. Give me three steps. Give me three steps. They play it over and over and over again. Whenever we're out there at our campfire, sometimes at night, we hear it back through the woods. But I can't hear it in my house, thankfully. They hadn't gotten big enough to buy a big enough amplifier to put it through those woods where it permeates my walls. I want to know about the surety of the home. Well, I want to tell you, the Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place for all generations. There's not a more sure place to dwell than in the Lord. You dwell in Him in covenant. He assured us of that. He's told us of that. You're in Him in a covenant. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. You're in Him in the new birth. You're in the Lord. He made a promise before the foundation of the very world that you are in Him. The Scripture says that He hath saved us and called us not according to our own works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Where is that promise today? Is that promise in your profession of faith? Is that promise in your conduct? Is that promise in your holiness? Is that promise and that assurity of salvation, is it in you or is it in the Lord? I'll tell you this morning, by the authority of the Lord God Almighty, you are in the Lord by a promise that He has given us, and the surety is in Him. Lord, Thou hast been a dwelling place throughout all our generations. You are a dwelling place in Him in covenant. And whenever you are given life in Him, you are alive in Him. You know, that's an important point for us to understand. Because if the surety is only in us, then the promise is only as sure as we can make it. You know, I give promises to my children, and whenever I make them, I don't have any intention of breaking them. I can't tell you that I can't stand before you and say I've never told a lie. I'm embarrassed of the ones I have told. Man. But nevertheless, I can't think of one where I've intentionally lied to my children. Now, I'm not lifting my... I can't think of one right now. Whenever I've told them and given them a promise, I didn't have intentions on not fulfilling it whenever I gave it to them. I have intentions on doing it. We asked the children before the summer started, pick out one thing that you all want to do. And we'll make sure that we get to do that during the summer. And have one choose to go to the Braves baseball game. Did it. Had one choose to go to Bouncing Beans. And after they chose to go to the Bouncing Beans, the other one heard that and said, I want to go to Bouncing Beans. I said, well, don't waste yours on the one that they've asked for. You get your own. We're going to go to fulfill it. And one of my children asked for something that I haven't made come to fruition yet. But I promised him that I would do what he's made a request unto me to do. But you know, I may not wake up in the morning. This night may be the last night that I ever lay my head down this side of glory. And if I have made a promise to him that I would do it and I do not fulfill it, I have broken that promise. And I am no longer alive to fulfill it. Well, I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, this morning, when you consider the promise that Jesus Christ has made unto us that we are in Him, that He made a covenant before the foundation of the world. He had a purpose. Our purpose was in Him before the foundation of the world. Our purpose and that promise is in Him, one that never dies and one that will not be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. It will be done because Jesus made the promise. Oh Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place throughout all generations. He's as sure as one can be. I'm thankful that this doesn't say that we have been our own dwelling place throughout all generations, because the house can only be as sure as the one in which you're dwelling in. But whenever we consider the dwelling of the Lord, that house is a sure place. Consider the surety of the foundation of the house. You know, we bought a house in Lawrenceville in 2006. And the Lord blessed us to get out from under that thing 2 years ago. And I know y'all prayed for me through that. And I was able to sell the... I'm sure each and every one of us have our own ship to Tarshish, don't we? We've got something in our life when the Lord was telling us to go one place and we thought we were a little smarter than Him, we won't go another place. Well, in the story of Jonah, he bought the fare of the ticket on the ship to Tarshish, and that ship spit him out. Excuse me, the mariners threw him out and he was swallowed by a whale, and then the whale spit him out. But he paid the fare on that ship. Well, I can tell you today, that house in Lawrenceville, that was my ticket on the ship. And the Lord blessed us through that period to be able to get through it and to be able to get by it and to be able to get out from under. And the other day, I looked up on the internet and saw the house prices have done a lot since we sold that thing. That girl has got it for sale that bought it from me, because she got married about 6 months after I sold it to her. And they've moved off, and she's going to come out pretty good on that. And I got to thinking, if I'd have just held on just a little bit longer, then I got to thinking about it and saying, I think I'd have sold it for less if I could have got out of it 1 week before I did. I was ready to be done with it. But before we bought it, I took my boss, who's a geotechnical engineer, over there to that home. And I said, look at this house. Walk it with me. Look at the foundation of the house. Inspect it. I had a home inspector, but I wanted somebody that I knew personally to go and to walk it. And he walked it. He saw what the structure was composed of. And he said, this is a good house. I believe it was, from that standpoint. It just wasn't the place where I was supposed to be at the time. Oh Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place for all generations. And I want to tell you, the foundation of the Lord, it doesn't have cracks in it. It doesn't have something that is going to crumble. It doesn't have something that is not going to support what it's supposed to support. It'll hold up. It's been holding up for all generations. You know, sometimes they go, you know, a lot of people go over to, I believe it's Rome, Italy. And they go over and they look at the at the Colosseum. And they just marvel that something could stand so long. You know, the Romans were known for their capability to be engineers. Their roads over there are so straight. And yet this Colosseum still stands. And people marvel at it, that here is a structure that was built so long ago. And I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but I know it's been a while ago. And that structure still stands because the foundation is sure. Well, I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, today, whenever we consider the dwelling place of the Lord, the foundation of the Lord, it will stand forever because the Lord is the foundation. The foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. It has a seal and a signet of approval. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and whosoever believeth in Him should not be ashamed. You want to know why you won't be ashamed? It's because that foundation will never fail you. My foundation in my home is already cracked, and the home I built 6 years ago cracked within 12 months. From the top in my basement all the way to the bottom. Crack in it. They made it right. They came over and they put the seal in it. I forget what it is. And they did some other stuff on the outside. And they got it where I don't think it'll ever give me a problem. But I will tell you, I love my home. And my home is a safe dwelling place for me. It was a sight for sore eyes to pull back in that driveway last night. I went to the Lord, I could have snapped my fingers in Charlotte, North Carolina and been back there. I love that place, but I want to tell you that place is not sure. It's only as sure as man's hands can make it. But the Lord will never let you down. And He has never let one that has made their habitation in Him experientially down in this world. We're in Him in covenant. We're in Him in the new birth. And He'll never let you down in that standpoint. But whenever it comes to our experience, He's speaking here about experientially, the children of Israel had to make their abode in Him. And the people of God today have to make their dwelling place and their abode in Him. And if something fails, I can promise you, it is because man in some way has failed. The foundation of God will never fail. It's a chief cornerstone. It's the biggest, it's bigger and more sure than any stone that man can make. Some of you may remember whenever we bought this piece of property. And we met out here. This was a kind of a knoll right here where the sanctuary sits now. They shaved the knoll off to make a flat spot for the church. We met right down here. And we, you know, the architect was here, the engineer was here. Several of us brethren, we started picking out the place for the corner, that back corner right over there. I could tell it made some of them nervous. Like, don't we need to let the professionals tell us where to put that corner? I thought it'd be better if we made a decision based on where the road was to tell them where to put the corner. We placed that corner there. And whenever you place a corner for a structure, what you have is a point of beginning. There's never been a house built that was square where you started in the middle of one of the sidewalks. Somebody may have successfully done it, but I doubt it. I could probably start at the corner and probably mess something up. But people that know what they're doing, they start at the corner. It's a cornerstone. And whenever it comes to anything that we have spiritually, it all starts at the place of the chief cornerstone. This world began by the voice of God speaking it into existence. The point of beginning, the chief cornerstone. It started at the beginning whenever the Lord spoke it into existence. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It started at the point of beginning, at the chief cornerstone. If you ever lose connection, if you ever lose sync, if you ever say, we're out of square, where do you go? Do you go to the the middle, or do you go back to the point of beginning and go back to the chief cornerstone? You go back to the point of beginning. You go back to the Lord. And I want to tell you, little Lamb of God today, that has put their faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you put your faith and trust and confidence in the one that is the chief cornerstone, the one that is the point of beginning. You know, one of the things that makes us unique is whenever someone asks you, who founded your church? You know, a lot of people answer that with a man's name. It was Charles Wesley. He's the founder of the Methodist people. People say, Brother Will, don't call names. I'm not speaking ugly. I got an aunt that's a Methodist. My grandmother was a dying oil Methodist. And she's in glory today. And I believe she's believing today what I believe today. I believe that with every ounce of my being. I loved her. She's a spiritual woman. As long as you didn't go past 12 o'clock whenever you was preaching, she was real spiritual. But she could get real carnal if we went a little over 12. Might miss a Sunday or two after that. Make sure they knew that she didn't approve of that. But you don't name a name of a man. You don't have a man's name upon the seal of your faith. If your faith is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ today, you believe the apostles' doctrine. And that is not the apostles' doctrine because it originated with them. It's the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in what the apostles were taught by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. The point of the originator of the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He preached it. The apostles established the churches upon it. And it continues down to this day by the promise of the Almighty God. Oh Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place throughout all generations. And you see, if it had a man's name upon it, it does have a expiration date. Things in this world have an expiration date. I went to get some milk for Sister Allison this past week. And the milkman don't fool me. I know that behind those on the front or some milk cartons the expiration date is later than those that are on the front. It didn't bother me at all to pull five of them out and wait till that one on the back slid forward to get me a date that I wanted to have. I wanted it to last as long as it lasts. I don't know why I worry about it, because milk around our house goes like that. It don't last any time around our house. We go through about 5 gallons a week. But just in case, I want to make sure it lasts a long time. That has been our dwelling place throughout all generations. The same God that Moses found his dwelling in. The same God that David beseeched and cried upon. The same mercies that he depended upon. And the same one that he prayed to. It's the same very one that we speak to today. Because it's been throughout all generations. You see, the very next verse says, before the mountains were brought forth, forever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In other words, it's been forever. Now it's been our dwelling place. Not only do you consider the surety of the foundation, I'm going to take a look at the roof, aren't you? I'm going to look at the roof. I'm going to look at how good is that roof going to keep the weather off of my head. Sister Allison gives me a hard time whenever we get in a rainy situation. Now, if we're going to have a ball game in the yard, I ain't worried about getting wet. I'd enjoy that. I used to love whenever it would rain and we were playing football. But if I've got somewhere to go, church especially, when I'm dressed nice, getting wet is not something that I desire to be. I don't want to get wet by the rain. And I get accused of being a little bit babyish about it. I don't want to get wet by the rain. And I want to dwell in a home that's got a sure roof on it. Because I want to tell you, there's elements in this world that are going to fall from that sky. That'll be a source of trouble to me. You remember the wise man Solomon's words whenever it comes to a continual dropping on a rainy day? You can continue the verse. Yeah. And by the way, brethren who think, yeah, that's a verse about a woman that'll nag, you can take out the woman in that verse and you can apply a man. You sure can. You can teach the principle and you can establish it through both. So you can nudge if you want to. And sisters, you can nudge them back because it'll apply to both sides. In other words, it's something that'll aggravate you. A continual dropping on a rainy day. It's used as torture in the middle of warfare. To have to sit there and listen to a continual dropping. And why is it that something is continually dropping? It's because something is letting the elements in from without. You know, the scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 7 that he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, him will I liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. We've already spoken about the foundations. But he that buildeth his house upon a rock, the scripture says that when the winds blow and when the rains come, that it will not destroy that house because it was built upon a rock. Well, the scripture tells us there that when those elements come, those elements are part of this world. But he that has been our dwelling place in all generations is one that provides a sure roof over our head to protect us from those elements so that they do not nag us, so that they do not bother us and disturb us and cause us trouble in this world. You know, I don't know about you, but I've never lived in a where a roof was made of stone. Have you? We don't make them that way. Here, I got a feeling, though, that during the summertime, that'd be a great blessing. Something tells me it'd be kind of cool. If it's hot outside and you got stone above you, you say, stone, are you telling me that our roofs are made of stone? Well, David said it this way. He asked to be led to the rock that is higher than I. And that rock is the same one that has been our dwelling place in all generations. And why is that rock higher than us? In other words, there's a sure rock not only under us, but the rock is above us to prevent those elements from the world from destroying us. You know, our conditions of life these days sometimes can make us forget what a luxury it is in the Lord Jesus. I've never lived in a home where the roof leaked. Roof never leaked. But I can tell you, I can look back on times in my life when the place where I was dwelling was leaking pretty bad. Where the sand I was standing on was not very sure. I can tell you that. I wasn't standing on the chief cornerstone. I wasn't dwelling in the Lord. My roof was leaking. And the elements of this world were about to destroy me. And they will. They'll destroy you. You ever seen and I know you have, seen what a hurricane or a tornado does to a home? You know, I love to see the picture. If I can find that picture, if any of you want to see it, there's one that exists. I can't remember if I saw it because it was emailed to me, if I saw it when I was in that part of the country. But when Katrina came up through New Orleans back in 2005, it destroyed that city. And I don't say this to tell you that, you know, the old Baptists church is somehow could not suffer destruction in the midst of a natural disaster. I can give you examples of when they were. And I have belief that unless the Lord had changed the path of a tornado in 2011, if we were a year ahead of schedule with the construction of this building, we'd have gotten smacked. Came right down the side of that mountain, right across this hill and right over there, across the road. And it destroyed everything in its path, and unless the Lord had changed the path of it, I have any reason to believe any different that it would have happened to this building. But I've seen that picture of Bethel Primitive Baptist Church in New Orleans, Louisiana, with everything around it just as flat as a pancake. That church outstanding in it. It suffered some damage, but it was standing when everything around it was down. And I know if you go and you start trying to look for something and everything you see, and everything, why is this and why is that? God must be sure. You know, somebody will hear a bird outside their window and think that God sent a bird to sing to you. I'm not saying he didn't, but that bird may be singing praises to his maker and not just for you. You ever thought about that? You know, that's what you run into whenever you think that every pretty bird you see that's singing a tune is singing to you, is you've made it about you. That bird is singing praises unto a greater one than you. But whenever you see something and everything that happens, if you try to find a reason for it, I see the error there. But I sure did like that picture. I sure did like seeing it. That foundation stood because the men that built that church house understood the importance of having a strong one, of having a good one, of having something for that builder to stand on. Because the elements of this world can blow you over. But I tell you, the Lord and the people of God and the experience of the people of God throughout all generations, He's been a dwelling place for them. He's been a place for them to dwell and to find a sure foundation, to find a safe place from all the elements of the world. Not only do you consider the foundation and the safety of the roof, and I meant to mention the walls in that, but you get the point. Consider the atmosphere within. Consider the capability of that home to be able to sustain a certain atmosphere. Right now at our house, it's about 69 degrees. That's the current atmosphere. Whenever you've got an expectant mother in the home that's 1 month away from her due date, it keeps a very chilly atmosphere. And unless you're a very brave soul, you don't say a word. My mama's been up there for 3 days and she's walked around with a blanket wrapped around her for 3 days. She says she slept in footies every night. That's what she told me last night. She slept in footies every night. But you know, what we have in that atmosphere is something to keep us comfortable based on what's going on outside. The insulation of a home is the house that many of you saw that we rented for 4 years. That home didn't have any insulation in it. It was built in the 40s, and when they remodeled it, I don't know that they really put the insulation in it like it should have been done. If it was 40 degrees outside, just inside the wall of the home, you may be able to, it probably be close to 55 or 60 degrees. It was cold inside because of the insulation was not there. And what we have in a home is something that would keep us in a comfortable way based upon what's going on around us. Well, you know, when we consider our dwelling place in the Lord, can you think of a more comfortable place to dwell than in the Lord, so that you may be able to be in comfort within, even though the weather without is not so peaceful? You know, we've endured the heat of summer. We know how hot it can get. There's been some cold winters that we've live through, each and every one of us. I think they're colder now than what they used to be. And you say, hold on a minute now, Brother Will. And the scientists tell us they're getting warmer. Well, I think that the cold is colder now and the warm is warmer now. And you want me to tell you why? It's because we're not out in it as much as people were years ago. I remember growing up on the farm. My daddy went through basic training in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, where it snowed the whole time he went through basic training for the National Guard. And it hardened him. And we'd be out there working on the farm, and it didn't get near as cold down there as it would get up here, but we'd be out there working on that farm. And me and Jack would be freezing to death. I'd have on gloves. I'd have on anything I could to be able to try to stay warm. And my daddy would be out there in just a flannel shirt without any gloves on, going through every bit and doing every bit that we were doing. I was freezing. He was fine. What was the difference? It was the same temperature outside. You had one that could withstand it because he had been out in it. I'm not out in the sun a whole lot these days. I have an office job. Been softened by the office. And sometimes whenever I'm out there in it, it gets on me a little bit more than what it did whenever I was working on that farm. So whenever I say it's colder now than it used to be and it's hotter now than it used to be, I'm not speaking in support or against any of our good scientists that we have today that are doing studies that would prove this and that. I'm just telling you, I think it's based upon us. Well, I want to tell you, no matter what the temperature is without, you can be comfortable within because the Lord is our dwelling place. You know, the house of God is a place of warmth. It's a place of habitation where, due to the love that flows from one to another, that you have the warmth there. I'm not speaking about the air conditioner temperature. I'm talking about the spiritual temperature. You know, one of the best compliments, and I'm going to tell you this, it's not a compliment to me. It's a compliment to you and to the Lord's blessings upon you. Is I was last weekend over at Mount Vernon Church, and I was preaching that meeting with Elder James Isaacs, who was just here in July, and Elder Mark Quarles. And Brother James' sermon was from 1 Kings chapter 10 about the Queen of Sheba coming to see the wisdom of Solomon. If I get my hands on a tape, you'd enjoy hearing it. Boy, it was good. Oh, it was so good. But he spoke about his experience here. He spoke of coming here and of being in awe of a facility. And he said the boy that came with him, Brother Wiggum, walked around. And he said, I've never seen an old Baptist church, you know, look like this. But he said by the time they left here and they started back home, they weren't talking about the building anymore. They were talking about the people within. That whenever the Queen of Sheba arrived, she may have arrived because she heard about something that Solomon was building. And that is the case. But I tell you, little Lamb of God, by the time the Queen of Sheba left, what she saw within the building and what she saw within, going on within, that the servants took such care and you can go and you can read each and every description of what was going on within that home, within that place, is that he spoke of what went on within. He spoke of the comfort level within. And there's been a lot of things to go on to try to distract that comfort level within. But if you'll focus on what it takes to keep it warm at the house of God, and that is love for one for another and love for God, the temperature will be what it needs to be. Oh Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. It's in Him that we dwell. We dwell in Him. He's our home. From a positional standpoint in covenant, from a positional standpoint in the new birth, you're in the Lord. But from an experience standpoint, There's a lot of people who are positionally dwelling in the Lord in the new birth, but they're not enjoying the experiential blessings of the Lord and dwelling with Him in their experience and in their walk in this world. Those that are standing upon the sure foundation of the Lord, the chief cornerstone, those who are beneath the rock that is higher than them, those that are loving as they should. The Apostle Peter said it this way, being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible. Too far down. Let me start up a little bit higher. 1 Peter chapter 1. Seeing that you have purified your souls through faith in believing the truth unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. You know, there's things that if you're guilty of doing, you have a tough case saying that your love is pure. But if you'll do things in love, if what you do is for the love of the Lord, the love one to another. See, I'm guilty at times of maybe overestimating that somebody knows that you already love them. You know, that's the reason why I try to be more mindful to tell you that I love you from where I stand. So that if I ever did something that hurt your feelings, you forgive me. Because you say, well, he loves me. You know, my daddy, whenever he comes up and he stays with us, he still assumes the position of boss. And it aggravates me a good bit. We went to the swimming pool up there. Brother Ronnie took us to the community swimming pool up there in North Carolina. And I know what you're thinking, because you probably have seen our community swimming pools right here and say, where in the world did he take y'all? Well, they're a little bit nicer up there. Had big old water slides and stuff. And my daddy lasted about an hour out there, because he just couldn't quite keep them under his wing enough. He wasn't going to get in it. So he just had to finally just go crank up the truck and go sit in the air conditioner and hang out there. And you know, sometimes he may speak to me rough, but my daddy's told me he's loved me enough where I know he loves me. I know he loves me. You know, I'll tell this story and I'll quit. It's a good story. I think it is anyway. Elder Bobby Willis passed away last year. And I loved him. And I was so hoping that Brother Bobby at some point in time would come up here and preach here at Macedonia Church. Brother Bobby was a school teacher and a school administrator. And he had that way about him. He could eloquently preach the doctrines, but he didn't back off the admonitions of our walk with the Lord. And I love the doctrines. We need to preach the doctrines. But the admonitions and the walking with the Lord should never be neglected by the pastor of a church. And Brother Bobby was of the age where he could do it no matter if he had already visited somewhere or not. You know, there comes a certain point in time when a man's reached the age when he can arrive and never establish that he believes what you do about grace, and he'll preach duty and you'll listen to it. You know, somebody like me had better preach grace about the first four times he goes somewhere before he ever touches on what somebody ought to be doing. And that's a good reason for that. I love Brother Bob. He had me and Brother Ronnie in his home back in January of 2015. Maybe in 2014. I can't even remember now which year it was. But, you know, I'm accustomed to a cup of coffee every morning. And he and his wife didn't drink full caffeinated coffee. They treated us like kings and princes in that home, put out more food than what we could eat. But by the time we left to go to church on Saturday morning, my head was telling me that I needed some coffee and needed it quick. And he rode with us, with Brother Ronnie and I, to the meeting house that morning. And he rode in the front seat, and Brother Ronnie was just persistent that we would take his car out there. We did. It's a good car. He still got it, but the shocks in the car at the time, they were gone. And if you don't have shocks in a car, I don't know how many of you have gone across interstates in Alabama and Mississippi, but it's a rough ride, and it was a rough ride. And we were about that far. I felt like my bottom side was about that far off the pavement in that little old car. And I told him to pull in and get some gas so we'd be full to come back home after the meeting. And really, what I had on my mind was I was going to get inside that store and I was going to get the biggest cup they had and I was going to fill it to the top full of whatever caffeinated coffee they had. And I did. And I got back in the car. We turned out, and by the time we'd stopped, we'd not planned to. We was kind of pushing it, getting to church. And he had a bump in that car and I was in the back seat. And it just, I mean, that coffee, it went all over me. And I said, Brother Ronnie, you got to stop. You got to pull over. I said, I've just spilled coffee everywhere. And I got out, and thankfully I didn't wad up the shirt that I wore to church the night before. And I got in my suitcase in the back, and I put that on, put on a tie, and I got back in the car. And we got back in the car. We ain't going a mile. And he hit another. And he hit another. And it rattled the whole car. And I mean, here it came again. And thankfully I dodged that one. I said, Brother Ronnie. I said, you got to watch out for the hose. And boy, Brother Bobby Willis turned around, he looked at me and he said, hold on to that coffee, boy. And he meant what he said. He was about to be late to church. And I don't know if you've ever been around my house, but if we're about to be late to church, Brother Will is not one of the more peaceful people to be around. How long have we known we were going to church this morning and yet we're going to be late to church? Hold on to that coffee, boy. I told Daddy, I said, if you'd have raised me soft, that would have crawled all over me and I wouldn't even be able to preach that morning. But that was just another day in stride because that's the way I had it every day. I love it. I want to see us love one another. I believe you do. And our dwelling will be in the Lord. The atmosphere will be what it's supposed to be. May the Lord bless us to see these things that the psalmist David wrote, and to be able to see ourselves as being in our dwelling place in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for your kind sweet attention this morning.
For weak and worthless, so I am.
Oh, what peace we often pour faith. Oh, what peace was made.
Come and around me. Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to